live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 235, the pre-Thanksgiving feast show. We're live here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Once again, I'm your host, Brandon Reif. My co-host here, Jonathan Birdsong, JB. Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, man. Happy pre-Thanksgiving, man. Happy pre-Thanksgiving to everybody, the Crossroads Sports listening audience. Brandon, I don't know where you're at as far as the lineup, as far as tonight's show is going, But again, just want to say happy, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, right? Just want to say, wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And with that out in the open, man, Brandon, please give us the official rundown for tonight.
Yeah, we've got NFL. We're going to talk college. We're going to talk NFL. Colts. Colts had a game against the Eagles that they probably should have won that game. So we'll talk Colts to Eagles. We're going to talk a preview of Colts Steelers. What a matchup this is going to be. My favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, taking on here the Indianapolis Colts, which Reggie Sykes, in case you haven't seen, bud, we were 26-5 against you guys all time. 26-5. So let's relax on that talk right now that you've already been going off on Twitter and everything. So let's just relax it for a bit. We'll talk NFL. We're going to talk college football, John. Rivalry week is approaching. Some could say we have the rivalry of everything going on. We got Alabama, Auburn. We've got Purdue, Indiana. We've got Ohio State, Michigan. We're going to talk college football. We'll have Tanner on with us here at the bottom of the hour at 8 o'clock this evening. We're going to talk college football with him. We'll do our picks. We'll recap the week before. We're going to take your calls, of course. We're going to have our callers, and then we're going to finish up with some quick hitters tonight. We were going to do a segment for college basketball tonight, but I talked with Nick Peterson today, or actually about an hour ago, and we decided that we're going to push it off to another show. So Nick will join us on another show. 2 hours on a pre-holiday, just a little much, so we'll dip it in. We'll get you in an hour and a half show. So big show tonight. John, let's dive right in. Let's talk NFL. Eagles and Colts. Colts had a lead again. Tell me if you've seen this before against the NFC East team. They were up 16-10. Jalen Hurts had the Moses parting waters, scored a touchdown. I actually took the Eagles money line there on that last drive because when the Colts had to settle. Eagles win 17-16 over the Colts. John, Jeff Saturday came in. He gave him some hype, gave him some hoopla. It's still the same offensive line. It's still the same defense of these Indianapolis Colts. You just changed the guy that's leading that mess now.
Yeah. So what happened that this past weekend, the Colts didn't win the ugly baby contest, right? That's what you can say. Like, there was a contest of ugly babies teams that play the first weekend. Right, and the Colts didn't win that one. Well, now you're playing a real contender. They played a real contender in Philadelphia, who some people feel like have kind of, you can say, cupcake. I won't necessarily say that. Anybody would take an 8-0 record, right? They were stunned before the Colts could sting them, right? When I think about the game, Brandon, I think about the turnovers and critical. I mean, the Colts aren't good enough to have a fumble and it not affect them in certain. They're just not talented enough or mature enough as a football team offensively to overcome. A missed throw here, miscommunication here, a missed pickup. They had a lot of missed pickups. Like, where was the tight ends at this past Sunday? Real vanilla situation. But, you like what you see from the defense, right? even with some of the name guys out. The Quiddy Pay of the world are still out, about. The Shaq Leonards are out for the rest of the year. And the coach did enough defensively, you know, to keep the Philadelphia Eagles honest. And then it kind of came to the offense, and you're right, Brandon, same offensive line that can't protect, same Matt Ryan that's throwing duck hunts, wobblies, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, like, you can get you the Pro Bowl off Matt Ryan game, can't you? You know what I mean? So like, nah, man, just it's only so much media hype, and I don't necessarily think that Jeff Saturday is a you know, they seemingly say that he's a straightforward kind of person, and it's not all rah-rah kind of guy, which doesn't necessarily work in the NFL anyway long term. But here's the thing, Brandon, you have to know that on fourth and goal that quarterback's not throwing the ball. So you have to know possessional, you know, time of possession and who is out there. I'm not saying that Hurts hasn't proven that he can be a passer. But is he a passer that we fear like Tom Brady? Is it, you know, saying David or Aaron Rodgers? No. You know, saying he's a dual threat quarterback. I'm just calling what it is. You have to know that you have to send, and that didn't happen. And Jalen Hurts, I mean, that was the game right there. Uh-huh. Right? So, you know, can they get back into it? Yeah, but what do we get back into? That's what you think about athletes. What do we get ourselves back into? Get back into a playoff situation where you get if you can scrap up some wins. What kind of playoff team are you really going to be, right? You know, you kind of know what you are at this point. We're at our week 10 in the NFL. You know what you are. So you don't want to give up hope. You still have a professional football team out there. You still have a guy who used to be an MVP at one point. You still have a guy who was also an MVP candidate at one point. They got to step up, Brandon. They're not playing to their caliber level of play. And I'm talking about Taylor, and I'm talking about Matty Ice, right? So, because right now, everything's been done. We tried different people left guard. They tried different guys at right guard. They tried, you know what I'm saying, everything. And that now, this is what we have right now. There's nobody else left on the street that you can pick up right now to change the culture of your locker room. So this is what you have to go through right now. And right now in front of you is the Pittsburgh Steelers, who you haven't beaten in, like, I don't know, since the Bush administration.
Yes, I love hearing that you say that.
You can take it. Yeah, you can sound clip that one, man. They haven't beaten the Colts, I feel like, since the Bush administration. I'm talking about the second Bush, not the first one, man. So it's going to be Brent, I know you didn't necessarily, we can chop that one up too. It's going to be a really interesting game. It's a road game for Pittsburgh, but hell,
it won't sound like
even
it
even. But hell, even on the road, Brandon, it hasn't necessarily favored the Colts at home either, has it? You know, historically, man, if anybody remembers the Bettis game, the Bettis game where that was in there, that was at the dome that they came and beat the Colts. So like, nah, man, it's going to be a really nice game that, you know, that the Colts are going to try to, they're thinking that they got a rookie quarterback out there that they hopefully can confuse and try to make mistakes, and you know what I'm saying, try to make him have his best Zach Wilson impression this weekend. But I don't necessarily think that's what's going to necessarily happen. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to try. Brandon, they have to. You got to be happy about 30 points. The offense with a rookie quarterback, I get it. They didn't come away with the victory against the Bengals this weekend. But going further, man, you have to like what you see.
I do. Before I get to that real quick, I have a couple notes from the Colts game. Costly penalties. Zaire Franklin with the mob on that pass interference. If anything, my God, on that deep throw by Hurts there and late in the fourth, at least try to cover it up to make it look like you aren't burnt and it's a true penalty. Maybe you get away with it. I mean, that's a spot foul. So, I mean, they gained like 45 yards just on that play, and that set the Eagles up in prime possession. But Zaire Franklin has some good plays, and then he has that. It's just like, ugh. And then Kenny Moore, all-pro Kenny Moore, big-money Kenny Moore, he got torched in the end zone by Quiz Watkins. Just got schooled in the end zone by Quiz Watkins. I mean, you got to clean that up. And, you know, people can – John, I did hear people talk about moral victories. I didn't know we have that in the NFL. But
No.
I mean, it is what it is. But they had an opportunity. They let it slip by them. That's kind of the moral of the story of the Indianapolis Colts season so far. Now they got to get themselves up. You know, they played a great team. They hung in there. Now they've got a team that's a little bit lesser, the Pittsburgh Steelers. My Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town. I'll say it ad nauseum. All time, Reggie Sykes seems to think, he says the Colts have the Steelers number, da-da-da-da-da-da. The Steelers lead the series 26-6. Just to give you a little bit of information, the last time that the Indianapolis Colts beat my Pittsburgh Steelers, I was a senior in college back in 2008. That was the last time the Colts. Well, that's Obama. But
okay.
2008 was it was November 9th of 2008. Colts won 24-20. And before that was the 2005 game in the regular season. You guys beat us, and then we had the infamous Nick Harper, Ben Roethlisberger trip in the playoffs that year, which was perfect. Before that, let me give you some notes before I make our picks.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, since I was born, John, and I was born in 1985,
mm-hmm.
The Colts have only won three games against the Pittsburgh Steelers since 1984. So the Colts have only won three total games since they've been in Indianapolis against Pittsburgh. They won the first one 17-16, and then they won in 2005, and then 2008, and that's it. Obviously, it's a whole different squad in Pittsburgh this year. Kenny Pickett, new quarterback, rookie quarterback. John, he is starting to mature a little bit with the checkdowns. He's starting to take some chances. Najee is starting to make a little bit more of a run. Deontay Johnson, I'd like to see him in the ball more. But it's weird that this team has picked up so much better as of late once T.J. Watt got back into that lineup for Pittsburgh.
He's a little banged up. You know, he's a leader, so that's what happens after. You know, so that's the eight factor for why that is. So yeah, go right here.
Yeah, we had a chance to win against the Bengals on Sunday. We had a shot. We were up at halftime. The problem is, man, just Joe Burrow with T. Higgins and them. But then shit, we made some AJP Ryan look like the NFL MVP this year. And, you know, when Mixon went out with an injury, defense just couldn't stop that. And Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow. And I realized we're going to have many more years to deal with Joe Burrow. But I do like the poise I've seen the last couple of weeks from the Steelers. They're starting to give a little more trust in the Pickett. Going into this week, John, Pittsburgh coming to Indianapolis. I'm going to be at the game Monday night. I've got really good seats from an old guest of mine, the Omni. He's giving me a really good ticket. So me and the fiance are going down to the game Monday. I'll be decked out in my Steelers garb. It'll probably be a picture up on Crossroads for it. Steeler fans travel well, so it's probably going to sound like a little bit of a road game for Indianapolis, I would believe, at times in there, based off the history of the games I've been to here in Indianapolis. If you look at it, John, it's a whole different squad. You look at the odds. The game initially opened at 3, Steelers plus 3. As of right this second, it's now Steelers plus 2.5. So money is going then on the Steelers on this. So it's down to 2.5, Colts minus 2.5. I don't know where – I don't.
Here's
I haven't decided yet what I'm going to go on this one.
Here's where I say started, man. Well, how good are the Colts against the run? Because I don't think they're going to be shy about running the ball.
That's what hurts the Steelers right there, run game.
Well, I'm talking about. I think the Phillies are going to run the ball to themselves and try to do a whole lot of ball control.
Depends if Jalen Warren's in there. I mean, Najee can only do so much. Last time I saw this team here against Indianapolis, Lev Bell had 127 yards of all-purpose offense. So if Najee can get 90 of it, Najee's had two 90-plus yard rushing games the last 2 weeks. That's good to see. He's caught some balls out of the backfield. I will tell you this. I trust the Colts' run defense more than the Steelers' run defense this week. I think Jonathan Taylor's going to get his. I do. Mm-hmm. I also think that this Steelers secondary since 2010, when the guys just started leaving and retiring and whatnot, this secondary has been terrible. I keep talking about how bad the Steelers secondary is besides Minka Fitzpatrick. I am nervous about this secondary against that Colts offense. I think there is going to be plenty of holes for Alec Pierce in that slot position. I also think Paris Campbell. I think if Paris Campbell can play kind of like how I see him playing like T. Higgins, I think Paris Campbell can have himself a big game. As well, I would like to say even Mo Alie-Cox. Hello, Mo Alie-Cox. Hello, Kyler Granson. Hello, the other tight end. I can't think of his name, but the Pittsburgh Steelers do not play defense against tight ends. They don't. If you look at history, they give up so much stuff, whether it was Gronkowski, whether it was Dallas Clark, whether it was Jack Doyle. They just do not guard the tight end well in history. Travis Kelce, you name them. I think the Colts tight ends, they have an opportunity. It's there for them to take, and they have to see it. If I'm seeing the Steeler game every week and it's the tight end that's getting the place, the Colts have to capitalize on it. Run until you can pass to that tight end. And then once they tighten that up a little bit and they say, okay, well, we're going to be playing the tight end a little more, that's when you can go over the top or take those slant routes to a Paris Campbell, to a Michael Pittman, to an Alec Pierce. So I'm looking at a big run game and a big focus on the tight ends for the Colts this week. I think they do that. Yeah. I think they win the game. And you got to protect Matt Ryan. They do those three factors.
Man, it sounds like we protected Matt Ryan. Everything sounds like you protect, you know what I'm saying? It pertains to like if Matt Ryan can be protected and if Matt Ryan can live up to some of those, you know, and find some of those receivers, Brandon. Again, man, he had some woefuls, some duck hunts in the last game, man. And that should be concerning. Even going into, because he's like the Colts are, I'm not going to say stuck, but let's say it, their Colts are stuck with him for another year. So it should be kind of concerning. With his delivery, you know what I'm saying, with his performance, you know what I'm saying, going south.
With that pick, and with everything I've said, this is still a team in building for Pittsburgh regardless. And you look at it, the NFL really, I don't even think the Vegas really knows where this is going to go because a standard home team gets 3 points going into this, which may shows that they're not sure which way it can go. I think Indianapolis is probably going to win the game just with it being a home game and having more veteran players than what Pittsburgh has. I'm going to go with the veteran quarterback over the rookie. But my official pick, I've got two official picks. My first one, I'm going to take Steelers plus 2.5, and I'm going to take the under 41. Under 41. It's going to be an ugly game. I'm going to take Steelers plus 2.5 and the over-under under 41. In five games at Lucas Oil Stadium this year, the over-under, the under has hit 4 out of the 5 games. So, which just shows that it's not good defense. Steelers have won 12 in their last 14 games, but I throw that stat out the window because it's a whole different quarterback. 14 of the Colts' last 16 games have gone under. There's a telling stat for you, John. 14 of the last 16 have went under. I'm going under 41 in this game. The Steelers have covered the spread against the Colts the last 5 of the last 6 games. Steelers are getting 2.5 on the road. It was 3. I wish I could have got it at 3. I'll keep an eye on it to actually put a money on it. But I'm going to take the Steelers here plus 2.5. I can't go against my team in this. I mean, I'll go with my heart. My head says I would not be shocked if Indy wins, but I'm taking my Steelers.
Yeah. But you said 40, yeah, because, like, man, the Colts can't score. What's the Colts averaging right now? 17? Is it
even
17? Yeah. I don't even think it's 17. So, yeah, I wouldn't. I mean,
20 points
yeah,
a game.
That's
I'm sorry. I got
really?
It wrong. That's wrong. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. 31st, they're averaging 15.7 points a game. 31st in the league. Steelers are 26th in the league, averaging 24.4. They went up because the Steelers was trash. They were at 16 points, and then they went up recently. So, I'm sorry. No, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I'm looking at offense versus Steelers. Steelers are 28th. They're 17 points per game. So it's 17 points a game versus 15 points a game. That smells ugly. That smells an under to me, especially.
Man, but Steelers is coming off a 30-point, you know what I'm saying, a little sideshow they had with the Bengals, man. That would be a little concerning for me. Colts have shown that they can slow down high-power teams. If you think back to the Kansas City game, and if you think about what they even slowed down this team, Philadelphia. But, again, man, you're asking them to do a third time's a charge, man. And it's, again, that the Steelers are still kind of figuring it themselves out. That's kind of what you said when you described their whole team. They're still kind of figuring it out themselves. I can't remember that from last couple of games that he's not taking a whole lot of sacks.
He's scrambling out a lot more.
Throwing it to the other side. I know, you know, that was the issue when he first got inserted. He was throwing it to the other team, right? But I don't know, Brandon. We'll see, man. With my college basketball history, college football history, man, the point spread has not been my friend this week. And we'll talk about that a little later when Tanner comes on, man. So I almost kind of want to edge Pittsburgh in it, dude.
Yeah. Kenny, and I'd like to see, because the Colts had, what, Jalen Hurts recently, where they kind of let him get loose. I'm not saying Kenny Pickett's elusive like a Jalen Hurts or whatnot, but he's like in the Colts. I don't know if they've played them yet this year. I don't think they have. I think they have him still on their schedule, but the Giants – he runs, and he's as quick as, I would say, Daniel Jones. And Pickett's averaging right now 24 yards per game rushing from a scramble. So he's got 3 touchdowns, so you got to look at that close to the end zone where they go with that. They obviously traded Chase Claypool, got a second-round pick for next year. I did see some different trickery plays, and that's kind of what's gotten Pittsburgh in trouble a little bit was the trick plays in the past. So we'll see kind of how they adapt with that going into this game. It'll be a fun one. I'm excited to be there. Work will be hell on Tuesday with how late it's going to be. But Indianapolis is going to be decked out in blue. I'll be in my Steelers garb, so I'm excited to be down there so far. So Pickett right now, not the greatest passing, 3 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. So, I mean, it's a work in progress. So, 20 sacks, John, 20 sacks.
That's on the season, though, right?
Yes, that's on the season. He's had 20 sacks on him in the season through however many games it is, through 10 games. So that's 2 a game he's averaging.
Well, we know they need to improve their offensive line at some point. So
yeah, the NFL draft has got them taking an Ohio State offensive lineman at left tackle with the 7th pick in the draft right now. Because that's kind of where they're at in that draft area. It keeps moving around, obviously. I'll tell you this, though. The Colts, you would be thinking, you're right now sitting at 14th. You probably need to lose some more games, John, to get yourselves a little bit higher to get one of those top quarterbacks, right, if you're really looking QB. Even if you don't want to go QB, right, and you bring back Matt Ryan, you're just delaying it, the inevitable, what, another year, maybe?
Why would they do that, right?
Why would you want to?
Right. Let's say the Colts get a top 5 draft pick next year and say, oh, man, no, we want the best, you know, defensive back or quarterback. That'd be crazy, man. You know, next year, Brandon, if they get anything that resembles even a top 6, top 10 pick, they have to pick a quarterback, or they have to do their due diligence too, because they are in the same position. Wouldn't you? I mean, I'm gonna throw this out. Aren't they in the same position where Chicago was like last year with a Matt Nagy? When they, you know, where they Chicago just didn't fire. They fired Matt Nagy in the offseason, where the coach fired. But like, you have a defense. You have aging. You have aging players on your team, and you have a new potential. You have there's a new regime coming. Okay, or right. Ballard is gonna have to shut up. Ballard's gonna have to shut up and listen to the coach. Jeff Saturday? There's a new regime coming, though, period, right? So it's just time. It's just time. And if it's Jim Irsay, that somehow there's no way you not – Brandon, you know the law of the land. You know what kind of quarterbacks are going to be out there. Max Duggan, the kid from TCU. Bryce Young would be out there, the kid from Alabama.
Will Levis.
The kid from Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's all kind of quarterback talent that's going to be next to be. It's going to take 2 years to be cultivated. That's kind of why we compare the Colts situation to the Bears, because next year I think the Bears is going to be a plug and play players in the way they go, because they got the quarterback. The Colts don't have no quarterback. If you ain't got quarterback, you don't have too much anything.
And we'll talk about it when we talk college football. Right now, the Colts have the 14th pick currently. The NFL tankathon. So, with the 14th pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Indianapolis Colts select, and this will make the entire city riot, Michael Mayer, tight end, Notre Dame. Tight end is not the option you need to go in Indianapolis at the 14th pick. But let me ask you this. Okay, you get it for blocking? Are you using a tight end for blocking?
Nah, man, the people will want to parlay. You better take that 14 pick and see if you can try to get up, navigate your way up to the top seven.
Well, here's my thing. If you don't, the mock draft has a number 28, and this is a big chance basically off what happened to college football this past weekend. They have Hendon Hooker going at number 28 to the Giants. I know he's got a torn ACL, John, but do the Colts say, hey, maybe people are thrown off of the ACL, they take Hooker, and they keep Matt Ryan there. We're paying him. Let's let him do it, and then let Hooker work his way?
Brandon, not this organization. This organization that let Peyton Manning go, and then he goes off to go to two Super Bowls. This organization that was wishy-washy, whoever you blame, and with Andrew Luck, this organization that was kind of like, I don't know what's going on with Darius Leonard this year. Anything medical, anybody with a medical, like, question mark, and I know people still out there. I know our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, he was thinking about, at one point, bringing Odell Beckham in here. But, again, anybody with a medical, like, checkered past, one, I don't think the general manager at Ballard is in favor of anything like that at a high price. And, secondly, I don't know, Brandon, nobody's running here to, you know, to save the, you know, saying to get the Colts, you know, saying out of neutral.
Okay. So right now your quarterbacks are in your draft board: Bryce Young at 2, C.J. Stroud at 4, Will Levis at 8, Hendon Hooker at 29, Anthony Richardson from Florida at 37, Tanner McKee of Stanford at 50, and then Tyler Van Dyke, Miami at 87. So, besides the top four, you don't really have anything else. But if you feel like you can use Hendon Hooker as a project and let him kind of grow and recover and say, we're still paying Matt Ryan all this money, let's have him sit and get healthy. Then we'll be good.
Not here. Not here, man. They need somebody out there that's ready to go. You know what I'm saying? Snap number one.
All right. I want going back into college football ranks around a little bit, John. I'll just flat out say it. I think Zach Wilson is an asshole and showed his ass when he said in that post game that, well, the defense lost us that game, let us down. I'm sorry, you punted what? You punted on seven of your nine possessions? You only had like six, seven first downs? That's on you, bud, the quarterback. He got his ass benched for those comments.
Yep.
I just saw a second ago a thing came out that said that he has apologized to the Jets and the organization. Buddy, I think you've alienated your whole team.
Just a tad bit, man. So I don't know. Does it ever go right with any Jet quarterback? If you think about it, didn't they run Joe Namath out of town? You know what I'm saying? 4 score 7 years ago. Brandon, everybody knows who listens to our show knows I was high on that kid coming out of BYU. I know what he looks like. He looks like Zach from Saved by the Bell. He looks like he's about 18, 19 years old. He was like a little kid. But he was stellar in college. And he showed some flashes this year, last year, you know what I'm saying, and until he got hurt. Now, that I think some of the physicality of the NFL has kind of been something that he never experienced. They play in the Big West in BYU, right? But some of the physicality, and even some of you the leader. Who's the leader of the team? Do you ever think about him being the leader of the team? Even though he's been there, you never really think about him being the leader of the team.
No.
And those are some of the like growing pains. So like, I'll be honest with you, Brandon. I know what everybody's saying. Everybody listens to Stephen A. He's like, man, they need to cut Zach. Dude, go ahead and cut him and see how fast he'll be you know what I'm saying? What you're saying is, can it be corrected? Absolutely. So what you saw on film, you saw Bill Belichick, like, you know what I'm saying, turning, you know what I'm saying, whatever rookie quarterback or second-year quarterback, turning them
everybody
upside down. Yeah, because correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, and I'm not saying that, you know what I'm saying, Zach Wilson is the second coming of Brett Favre or anything in a Jet uniform, but like the last couple few games, have not looked anything that resembled anything that bad that what he put out there on film. That was bad film that he put out there against the Patriots. But the last few games that he's played, that he started, and again, like I said, I offered this up. The only thing that he has struggled with the physicality and being in and out of the lineup, being hurt. But other than that, man, what he kind of did at that podium and not necessarily taking – any responsibility as the leader. You're the leader of the team. The quarterback is the leader of the team, not the wide receiver. The coach is too, I get it, but like the coach, you extend to the coach. You play, you out there on the field, bro. So they feel like they can win games with or without him, with the quarterback room that they have, and they have. And so this is definitely like something, growing pain, something they should learn from. Like, dude, but like, I hope he learned. I'm a fan of him. Because again, I saw the talent, I saw the potential, but like Brandon, I feel like the NFL, and it's turning up young quarterbacks real fast to the point. Think about where Baker Mayfield's at right now in his career, where hell, he was a damn hot topic on our show in the summertime, and like now I don't know if that dude can get a USFL job. He stinks so bad, you know what I'm saying? Shame on me. I watch USFL in the summertime. Everybody knows this, but like still, man, he looks bad, man. So I think Zach Wilson, they'll sit him when the other guy, whoever the hell the damn quarterback, the reserve is, he's a big mouth his damn self too. But not the second stringer, because I don't know who the third. Anyway, whoever it is, when it hits the fan and they really need Zach Wilson's talent out there at quarterback, they'll make the call. Right now, he'll probably sit for like 2 weeks. If they go 500, they'll put him back in there. You know what I'm saying? But again, Bill Belichick takes everybody's their best quarterback out of their best element. And there you go. Zach Wilson has to learn how to be a better communicator with the media, right? And a better leader of his locker room. And I think he'll definitely get his career back on track.
Okay. I want to talk about this. I got a little audio thanks to our buddy here. So I want to talk about this because
you're a fraud. Just stop.
A fraud. And what's the first name and team that comes to mind, John, or frauds? All I'm hearing, John, what happened to the Minnesota Vikings against the Dallas Cowboys? My only thing I can think of with it is you had a hard, tough, fought road win at Buffalo, right, that you just came home and you just laid an egg. I mean, a complete egg. that you took all, it took all your energy all week. I don't understand. As professionals, you wouldn't think this would happen. I would see this more as a high school or a college, but not a professional team.
Not at home. Not at home. They look like the road team. And it
40
gave,
to 3.
It gave, yeah, it gave a lot of hope. Like, dude, like, man, did you – I don't know if you caught – I don't know if you caught Playmaker, you know what I'm saying, Irvin afterwards, man, after the game. Like, dude, he, I thought he was going to explode.
Cowboys,
you know,
to
and
Super
I know that's part of his shtick, man. But like, he believes in the Dallas Cowboys. He, everybody, he's like, everybody was a playmaker that day. That was, I mean, he was incredible. The hype machine, and like, again, you know. So I know we have a lot of few Crossroads sports Cowboys fans that, that listen to the show. They were chiming in about how they feel. I mean, the NFC is kind of wide open. Do you? I mean, can you really say the 49ers are the heads over heels? You know, they look like the most complete team, yes, but then can we forget about what the Philadelphia Eagles did for 8 weeks straight?
Or Dallas,
you know what I'm saying?
Right now.
Or Dallas.
I mean,
okay.
I think Dallas
and
is the sleeper of them all. I really do.
Right. And then let's not forget the good old Tom Brady out there in the wing, just ready, you know what I'm saying, just ready to, you know what I'm saying, to, you know what I'm saying, to mess up somebody's
John, right now, they are – I'm glad you said that, because I looked at it. Right now, they're winning the division. I know they're 5-5, but they're winning the division. Atlanta's trash, New Orleans trash, and Carolina's trash. But they're winning the division. They would, I mean, they would host a playoff game to start as a division winner.
Regardless,
and you know who it would be right now?
Who's that?
It'd be the Dallas Cowboys coming in there. And you tell me you think the Dallas Cowboys would beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoffs at Tampa? I don't know if I can sell you that bill of goods.
A lot of nerves, man. A lot of nerves during that time, right? So, I don't know. It's something that's going to continue to develop. But, like, no, man, Minnesota. Tell everybody your top five power teams, man, NFL power teams, man.
Yeah, my top five power teams. Obviously, number one, I have Kansas City Chiefs at number one, five. Number two, I believe, I don't have it in front of me. I think I had the Philadelphia Eagles, didn't I? At number two? Yes, I had Eagles at two.
Yes.
The Dallas Cowboys at three. The Buffalo Bills at four. And number five, number five was a tie between the Vikings at five. And who else did I have?
You said Miami.
Miami, yeah. And I mean, it was tough. I could have put a three-way tie and probably put the Baltimore Ravens in there. But, yeah, that's my top five. I still think Buffalo's strong. I really do. But Kansas City, man, they put on a clinic how to win a ball game right there again. That's why they're so strong. I can't go without saying what the Dallas Cowboys have done, John. I know we're a little trigger shy just based off of history and the fact that it's the Dallas Cowboys. It's Mike McCarthy. At some point, people are going to have to start believing a little bit more. I'll start drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit, just a little. But they got to be seen. They got a big one tomorrow night. And as quick as you go when you defeat the Minnesota Vikings and thump them, who were at what, 8-1 at the time, and you knocked off their 7-game winning streak. If you have this home game tomorrow night for Thanksgiving against the Giants, who you're tied with at 7-3, and you lose this game, I think Cowboys Nation, Cowboys fans, I think they're going to forget everything that happened against that Minnesota. I think they're going to take this. If this they lose this game, they're going to take this one and take it to heart and be very pissed off to where they want to fire his ass. It's crazy, but that's how the Cowboys fans and people think. They say, okay, well, no, this is the Giants. 7-3, right? You can see it.
Not fired in the season. Not fired in the season.
No, not during the season. But I mean, they're gonna. If they lose this game, they sure as hell they're not gonna. You won't. You ask them, hey, what happened the week before? They ain't gonna know.
Right. Is that right? You played Minnesota, who sucks anyway. That's what it goes. Who? Everybody's waiting for them to fall flat anyway. That'll be the
Detroit
game.
Lions three in a row.
Dude, what the hell's going on? Are we living in a bizarre world?
Three wins
in
a row.
That's crazy, man.
Aaron Rodgers, you owe him an apology. He's got a broken thumb. He's playing with John. You owe him a little bit of an apology.
I owe him an apology? I don't know about that, man. He's quite arrogant, and he's brought his Jeopardy self ways, his smart ass Jeopardy ways. I mean, I watch Jeopardy at 7:30 every day. I try to watch it every Monday through Friday. And Aaron Rodgers just thinks he's a super smarter than an astronaut. And unfortunately, dude, like, your team stinks, and you're the leader of the team.
They can't find him
or fire him because he makes $50 million. So they got to deal with it. They got to deal with Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, coach, and manager of the Green Bay Packers. Good luck.
Who's your top five?
Top five of I didn't even put one together, man. There's nothing wrong with. There's no reason why anybody should go against the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, they have a couple of things on their resume as of right now. The Colts beat them. That's one of the few things we can remember before the Colts fired Frank Reich, as he was the head coach during that time. But again, hell, that game could have went a different way if the daggone player. If he falls on the ball. Instead of he makes there was some kind of boneheaded play that happened at the end of that game, Colts and Chiefs game. If the Chiefs just kind of following the ball, they got a penalty and it cost them, basically cost them the game. But like, no, man, the Chiefs are offensively the like damn, you know what I'm saying? That's what you say, man. They put up, dude, Brandon. I don't know.
I'm
if you
still
got to
worried
see the whole
about
game
their offensive
the line. I don't know if you got to see the whole game of the Chargers. The Chargers, I didn't watch the game.
The
LA Chargers. Good. Well, the
Chargers I couldn't.
Are going to have, Brandon, the Chargers are going to have a change in staff. If you catch my drift, they're going to have a. They're going to probably experience some type of Black Monday because that team is too paid and too good to be like, dude. If you get up on the Chiefs. Like 8 or 10 points, whatever it was, I can't remember what it was. It wasn't that much, but if you get up on the Chiefs 10 double digits, you gotta put more than field goals on the board, or you gotta come out more than with three and outs, because like they're gonna come for you. Like him and Kelsey, like they know, ain't that crazy? So, but they gave Justin Herbert a great defense this year, and you know, so I get it. The run game maybe it necessarily hasn't developed for them this year, but like, dude, they major excuses. But like, no, man, I would definitely say co-sign you with the Chiefs as being the number one team power. I think, Brandon, like the gray area, what we're going to go get into is, and I don't want to take over because I really don't have five, it's like where we kind of put Philadelphia at, because they're not as scary offensively. They're not. You can kind of see like how you can kind of make them stutter step, right? The coach maybe kind of showed that, but the coach got a good defensive scheme, and they got a good defensive staff. But guess what? The Philadelphia Eagles have a good defensive scheme. They damn self. Hell, I think they're like rated like number two or three in a total defense in the NFL. So what they don't necessarily do is wow you at quarterback with a lot of passing or a lot of points. But he plays concise football, doesn't turn it over, definitely don't fumble a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? And that's why they won games, man. They had a little trip against who would take the Commanders seriously? They have, you know what I'm saying, Tyler Heineke. You know what I'm saying? Who's taking that seriously? But they should, right? So, so unfortunately, the you know what I'm saying, the undefeated season that the Eagles thought they might have had is off the table. But like, no, man. So those would be my top two teams from either of those two divisions. I think everybody else right now is kind of still trying to figure. I mean, everybody kind of knows what they're good at, but just kind of play the numbers games and see where they fall at. You're right. Tampa Bay wins their division. You know, they host a playoff game, and then that you got to deal with playing the legend that is Tom Brady, and it kind of goes with that. And that's pressure on other teams. So, but like I said, I think the two best teams for sure are Kansas City and Philadelphia.
Brandon Staley, you talk about the Chargers. I mean, you got to fade them this week. I mean, they're playing at Arizona, who's having their own problems right now. So Kyler Murray's practicing. But, I mean, Brandon Staley said today he's not a big turkey guy, but his favorite Thanksgiving dish is breaded cauliflower and a green bean casserole. You can't take a psycho like that serious who's not a big turkey guy. So any bets, you got to go against it. Have to. I don't want
right.
Can't have a psycho like that out there leading the franchise right now. Austin Crozier back in Gainbridge Fieldhouse tonight. Welcome back, Crozier.
Hey, now.
underrated, I would say, as well. So very, very underrated. The reason why, John, I couldn't watch that game on Sunday night, I had other must-see TV on at 9 o'clock. I had an hour and a half of Walking Dead.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
I mean, I saw my boy. That's all I had to see. So, what else NFL-wise do I have from the week before? Give me a second here. I'm going through my notes. Man, Justin Fields hurt again, John. Falcons beat the Bears. Separated shoulder for Justin Fields. Is the guy going to last in the NFL if he keeps taking the hits that he's doing?
Yeah, man, we know that dude to be tough. He's also the guy that had nursed some injuries coming out of college. So I think at this point, man, you said separated shoulder. Obviously, man, at this point, he's probably going to sit out for the rest of the season. And the Bears just kind of play the numbers game for, you know, the worst team in the league. They've been in a lot of games, but it kind of all comes down to defense for them. And hell, they traded their best defensive player 2 weeks ago to Baltimore. They're definitely in, okay, you can call it what you want. You call it tank mode. You're definitely in rebuild mode, whatever, but that's what it is. And why continue to have your prize piece in your rebuild continue to get banged up when you know other pieces won't be there anymore after this season? So, I think the world of them. Everybody knows that follows the NFL, kind of knows the Chicago Bears next year will have good lottery. I mean, lottery, good first round picks, second round picks. They'll have those kind of selections kind of in their favor, and they also have a lot of cash space as they shed, you know, say another $20 million or so when they traded Roquan Smith. They already have they have other free agents that they won't be resigning as well. So Chicago will be that destination USA football. If you're a young wide receiver, you know, being or tight end, or that wants to play with a potential quarterback like Justin Fields, I think they get that done next year. But like, yeah, this year it's a wrap, bro.
Okay, people have asked this, John, so we're gonna give it to them. We're going to give our, kind of like we do with college football, but we're going to do our NFL picks for tomorrow. We got three games on the slate tomorrow with the NFL, Thanksgiving Day, as John's getting that third and fourth plate filling up. We got games. First game, Buffalo Bills back to Detroit to take on the Detroit Lions, John. Bills are -9.5 against the Detroit Lions. I think Buffalo wins, but I think that's way too many points for this game I was reading a text. I think it's way too many points for the Lions to be getting. I'm going to take the Lions +9.5. I think Bills win, but I think the Lions cover this 9.5. So I'm going to take the Lions.
I don't know, man. Lions don't ever are they any good ever on Thanksgiving, Brandon?
They are.
No, I'm going to take Buffalo, man.
Okay. Give me a little bit of notes for you, John. You want some notes?
What you got?
Give me a second here. I got it. It's got to load it up. I had it written down here. Detroit Lions. They are – why is it not pulling up for me? Give me a second. We'll go to the second game, and we'll go through the games. I'll bring up my stats from it. The second one, New York Football Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys, 10-point favorites. I think everybody sees what Dallas did this past week and is like, oh, my God, they're an unstoppable machine. They may be, but with a division game, 10 points against the Giants. The Giants are 7-3 as well. It's an ugly 7-3, but they're 7-3. I still think it's way too many points for a division game here. Give me the Giants +10.
I don't know, man. I think Dallas is on a Rocky Mountain high, man. I'm going to take Dallas in the 10.
Okay. Your stats for you, John.
Horrible.
No. Not your stats. I'm sorry.
Oh. I'm sorry.
The Detroit Lions are 7-2-1 against the spread this year. 7 wins against the spread, 2 losses. They cover spreads. That's 10 points at home. 9.5 points at home you're getting. They know how to cover spreads there in Detroit. And still lose, but they know how to cover spreads. So,
know how to cover, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to take them all day. That set it for me. Another trend for it, we'll give our bettors because they're going to need to do some degenerate stuff tomorrow while they're with families. The Lions have covered the spread in 7 of their last 8 games at home as an underdog. So the Lions have straight up lost each of their last 5 Thursday games. So you have that, but my biggest, I think, Chris points, they've covered 7 of the last 8 games at home as underdogs. So I'm going to take them there. The last one, John, the Minnesota Vikings at home. They are -2.5 against the New England Patriots. I personally just think that this is a get-right game for the Vikings. It's 2.5. I think they win by 3. They cover it by 0.5 by the hook. So I'm going to take Vikings -2.5. I think they win by 3 against the Belichick team. They have to get right. I would typically – now, if the Vikings would have won last week, I would have been – this would have been the spot to take the Patriots, I think. But since they didn't, I'm taking the Vikings here.
Yeah, it's a home game. Bill Belichick, the Patriots necessarily haven't looked necessarily great on at home away from New England. Hell, their average score can't be that high either. It got to be somewhere in the late 20s. So, yeah, I would take Minnesota. Minnesota should get back to its winning ways.
Okay, perfect. All right, that's our Thanksgiving games. John, we're gonna hit a couple quick ad reads. We come back. We got actually real quick. I guess we won't. We'll bring on our guy here, Decott. What's going on?
Hey fellas, man, well, long time no see, man. Jeez,
yeah,
it's
where
been
you
a
been?
While.
We almost had to send out a missing persons bulletin for you.
No,
are you ready,
man,
for your
I was trying to listen last week, but I got caught up in some stuff for work, man, and I had to disconnect. I really wanted to connect last week, but to your point, Jonathan, we're going in order, right? So let's do this. Let's make it simple. Let's talk about the kid for the Jets, right? He's Johnny Manziel 2.0. Same pedigree. Had some success in college. Same
mm-hmm.
arrogance. He's Johnny Manziel 2.0. I'll leave it at that with regarding him, right? Then you guys talked about the I think you're talking about the Cowboys and the Giants game. I'm going to tell you this, mm-hmm. man. The Giants are beat up on the offensive line, wide receiver, and in the secondary. I say take Dallas, give the points, and cash it out, your 401k, and make some money on Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm definitely taking Dallas and giving all 10. All, I think it's 9.5 or 10, depending on what book you're looking at. So I would give that for sure. So now let's go back to Jonathan. You all bullying me this morning on Twitter. I will apologize. I will apologize when necessary. But everything I said about that coach down there in Baton Rouge is exactly on point. I posted it on Twitter. I responded to you. It's exactly on point. I never said that the LSU won't be a talented team. Think about this, fellas. Jerry I did some homework. I did some homework, by the way. Jerry DiNardo is 32-24 as an LSU coach. Believe me, there's going to be talent there. And that guy was probably the worst coach in college football history, Jerry DiNardo. Same guy on the Big Ten Network right now. Same guy that's under 250 coaching IU for those 3 or 4 years that he was there. So LSU is going to get talent. And that coach that's there in Baton Rouge, I won't say his name, he's going to get talent because it's there.
Absolutely.
They're going to be good. But there's going to be a difference-making good, and that's the question what I'm talking about, right? So can he be that difference-making good? And we'll see what happens. And think about this. In 2019, the coach that everyone laughed at, won a national title. So LSU is going to get the talent. They're going to be a strong team in the NFC West, in the SEC West. And,
but
yeah, they'll beat Bama here and there.
They've had a culture change, and I get the record, 2 losses, But they are ahead of Alabama right now. Things kind of went in their favor right now.
I understand that, but let's be realistic here, right?
This is realistic.
Talent,
right, really, are they going to beat Georgia? No, probably not.
No, they're not. No. I think the line is 14 and a half. Maybe I was wrong. Whatever it is, take Georgia and give the point. Because, you know, listen, LSU
15 currently.
Okay, I knew it was something like that. LSU played great against Bama. But come on. Everyone plays their best against Bama. And that's what you got to deal with. And you got to deal with it. And they great season. It's a wonderful season for them, but it's going to come to a crashing end in Atlanta when Georgia goes to work on. But they'll have a great bowl game. And it'll be nice momentum for them. But let's pump our brakes on the coach from Baton Rouge and the apology, right? Because everything I type, and you know it for a fact, is absolute.
You know
fact.
That man, an apology.
What about the other apology?
What about the other apology?
Which one? Oh, you lost him.
The coach of the blue and gold.
Oh. Matter of fact, didn't y'all see my post on that? I said I'm shocked. I'm shocked that the Pacers are playing up tempo basketball. What it tells me is the team is so talented he has no say. It's great. It's a great thing that Luka fired him in Dallas because I think that may have woke him up. Y'all saw my post. It may have woke him up. And you know what
well,
they say?
Far,
you know, you can never.
I know you and King of Trolls was at the Orlando game the other night, man.
Wonderful game.
Well, of course, the Pacers was up and rolling.
But not just that, the way they play, man. This is not a Rick Carlisle coach team.
Well, here's the thing, DK. I don't necessarily think that the Orlando Magic is the smartest league. They're not a basketball mature. They still play like they should be, you know, saying juniors and seniors at Kansas and Duke or around the country. They make bad plays. Like how many times was the hot hand open, Brissett? Like till you kids like, dude, what is like, you know, they how many times. Did they foul to Orlando? I'm not saying that it's not an accomplishment. You play who's on your schedule, right? As far as Pacers are concerned, because they've also played some teams where if you take boy, they like to play that couple of those.
They lost to San Antonio. San Antonio beat.
But, yeah.
San Antonio beat.
Yeah. Right, but so like there's different games that you could like, but no, this is a real good. I would say not great, but a real good position they put themselves in. Carlisle,
man.
He's got the rookie. Mathurin, not necessarily.
Oh,
okay, dude. I had to be critical of myself. Like, usually I would want that guy to be in the starting lineup. Like, he's too good. Like, what are you
man.
Doing? But I get what he's doing. Like, think about it. Brandon and Bicott, listen. They play how many games? 15. Like, the NCAAs, they play what? I don't know, 30-something, maybe 30 32, games.
32,
he's already
32
played
35, depending, yeah.
Right, and that's over 6 months' time. He's already played half a season in 2 months.
They bring
him steady along. I like what they have, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
You have two guys, two veterans in Miles Turner, who's looking for a contract, so he's not gonna put up no duds out there. And you have our guy who y'all not necessarily slow white guy. I know you're not necessarily a fan of it, but those are my words.
He played well. He played well the other night. He played well. I got
right.
to give the devil his due.
Right, but this is what you have, man. So this is the perfect – I think this is the perfect scenario situation to where I don't necessarily know if the Pacers – I know this is a different topic. I like the winning. So I don't necessarily think they move Miles Turner's contract. They might move Buddy Hield's contract, but I think Miles Turner is going to stay here. And, like, you have to like the rotations that they have. And
right.
The potential of Chris Duarte coming back, like what that looks like, and can they mesh this all together? And again, I haven't even mentioned player of the month. You know what I'm saying?
Tyrese, man.
Right. So
right. They also just have to improve the first quarter. They get, and I know they're making strides in it, but the ugly first quarters and stuff, it has to end at some point, especially against the good teams as you want to make a team. As
better
a team,
team,
you want to try to get to the playoffs. You got to improve that.
And that's a great point, right? And Jonathan, I hate to say this, but I agree with you 100% on Ben Starr, because I was talking to Reggie about it just at the game. I said, maybe it's better, and here's why. And his fight and his energy level is right now as a rookie is better suited against second-tier guys, right? That doesn't mean he's a scrub, but I think him growing into that is helping. Because if you look at it, that's why I think Lloyd, I thank goodness for Lloyd Pierce being on the bench. Because what happens is Mathurin doesn't always play the same role in the same rotation. It depends on how he plays. And I think Lloyd Pierce is making a big difference in that guy's play, right? Because if you look at the games, yeah, he won't start. But there'll be times he's playing for starters. There'll be times he's playing bench. He's all over the place. And I think if you saw Lloyd Pierce coaching in Atlanta, they're very similar with Trae Young, and I really believe that that's what's making a difference for the Pacers and the coaching staff. That's what I really believe. I'm not going to say Carlisle doesn't deserve any credit, but I think that the creativity that was lost with Carlisle is helped by Lloyd Pierce and his creativity from a coaching perspective. And I agree with you. I think Mathurin should come off the bench. So I'll give you that. I think he should come off the bench. You know, so that's a positive. But here's think about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of good and bad, right? You got the Pacers winning. You know, we've got three number one picks next year, right? Next season, right? Right? And we were talking about lottery and then maybe Cleveland and then Boston. It's tough, but think about this. We've got so much flexibility. As to your point, Jonathan, don't move anybody. Remember I said you can win with Turner or not win without him. There's no rush. Remember that a few calls ago? No rush to trade Turner. Why? Get everything you can get out of him, right? Because he's under contract. So then let's see what the offseason holds. Can you imagine a deal like this? Sign and trade with Turner, whoever the team is. You still got three number one picks. You got a talented young nucleus. Can you imagine what we can bring back in players and guys that are ready to win? This isn't a 5-year turnaround. This can be a 2 to 3 year deal. And this year being the first
year.
Uh-oh. That's what I think. Think about that.
Now we gotta say,
you gotta ask.
Now we gotta sign an apology for Kevin Pritchard too.
No. Hold on. Listen. I said, if a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass so much.
Hey, John, like I said this morning, the apology list is getting about as long as Santa's wish list.
Listen, man. You all seen Pritchard for the last 5 years. Don't give me this lucked up move, and then I'll actually, he's the new Pat Riley. Okay, stop it, okay? Stop it.
No, I didn't say that.
Let's pump our brakes. However, I will give credit here, right? And seeing the Domantas Sabonis trade with Haliburton, maybe he lucked into it, maybe he didn't, but it looked like it's worked out for both teams. It's what I see right now, right? But we'll see what happens. Matter of fact, my boy is in Friday night, and absolutely we'll be there to see my boy Kyrie do his thing. I can't wait to see Haliburton and Kyrie go head-to-head. I think that's going to be a good matchup. I hope they play. I hope it's a matchup, but I look forward to seeing that matchup Friday night.
Is the head case going to play?
I hope so, man. I hope so, because I don't want the excuse of, well, they didn't have this guy. I want to measure Haliburton against a guy that can handle the ball like Kyrie can, off the dribble, get to the basket. I want to see how Haliburton handles that type of guy, and I'll be watching real close regarding that. That's going to be a very interesting move. So we'll see what happens. But I'm going to tell you, give my Pacers the credit, man. Give, you know, those guys, the guys on the floor are making a difference to me, because they are pushing that ball.
There you
go. If you notice, Carlisle doesn't call the plays on the sideline anymore, y'all. This is running through the point guard. Now, if you all know the days of the Malice in the Palace, the control freak, trying to control 10, not 10, control.
There we go.
Who was it? Trying to
they got the lead.
Yeah, I saw that too. I didn't want to talk about that. Don't mention.
I know, right?
But my point being, is, look at the game. They're not looking over to the bench to call the play. Mm-hmm. They're going. They're getting going. And maybe Carlisle is saying, you know what? I can't mess this up. This is my last stop. I better let this thing play out. And I hope he continues to do that. Let's see what happens mid-season. Things get tight. I'll be watching closely. That's what I'll say. And I'll give you this. If it continues throughout the season, I'll do a public apology to Rick Carlisle and his control freak action with regards to him coaching.
And a small one to KP.
Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Until the Pacers get to the finals, KP gets no love for me. He has decimated this team for the last 5 years with garbage. But finally, he got a year where he got under his belt, where he did something pretty well. Nah, he needs to make up about 4 more years. Let's see what happens. Well,
hey,
no,
Deacon, last thing from me. Alabama minus 22. I ain't gonna lie. I think the way that the Kiffin game plays out tomorrow, and I think with Kiffin announcing either Friday or Saturday of him going to Auburn, what I've said all along, I think they play hard for Cadillac Williams. If it's his last game, I mean Auburn still has a good secondary, regardless. But I like Auburn to cover the 22. That's not crazy, right?
I think you're right to that point, but here's the difference. That game this weekend is probably going to be Bryce Young's last game as an Alabama Crimson Tide quarterback. That guy's got a lot of pride. He's got a lot of fight, and he's got a lot of and matter of fact, with that said, my man Emil Okier, he may be his last game also, right guard from Cathedral High School, right? So we've got a lot of guys who may be playing their last game, and how better fitting to go out beating the snot out of Auburn in your last game, in your worst season in the last 15 years. So I'm going to probably stay away from it. I usually would run because, and I've told you guys, when Bama's a two-touchdown or more favorite, and now they're not on the road. I know they're at home at Bryant-Denny. I just stay away. But I would probably stay away from this period just because of the emotion that's going on. Bryce is done. Bryce is done after this game. Emil's done after this game. And I would imagine maybe Gibson's probably done after this game also. So I've got a feeling that Bama's going to try to go out and thump them pretty good and then sit on their hands and knees and pray that somehow they can squeak into the playoff, which I think is impossible.
I think they have a real good shot of getting in. I don't. We could talk about school real quick. John, there is a way. I just don't see the committee putting in two Big Ten teams. LSU's going to lose. They're going to put Alabama over LSU. You know, the knocker is if USC loses to Notre Dame on Saturday. If that happens.
By the way, Notre Dame will beat USC. The problem for Bama was last week.
Is that your apology to Notre Dame?
No, not at all. TCU was on the ropes. Michigan was on the ropes. If those two teams lose last week, then Brandon, you and I can talk about it. But when that situation didn't happen, man, I think Bama's chances of going to the playoffs went out the window with that TCU lucky win and Michigan luckily winning. Oh, cheating against an Illinois team that was undermanned. So yeah, I think they don't have a chance. And listen, and I'll say this, right? The guys, everybody who's going to be draft eligible, they should skip the bowl game. You go to Bama to win championships, not poinsettia bowls or fiesta bowls or orange bowls. All of them, because you know what it'll do? It'll allow those players that are backups to get some reps and get some practice time in, and those backup guys, especially at quarterback. So if I'm a Bama fan. Y'all know that. I say, listen, everybody's draft eligible. Sit out and let us see what happens, man. No need to go playing against in a game like that. There's no need. The season, listen, I hate to say this, the season's a failure, man. The season's a failure.
John, the world's falling down on him.
No. If you're not winning, if you're not in the playoffs and you're Bama, and I don't know.
Yeah, this was supposed to be the year. You told us last year this was the year.
I absolutely told y'all that. I didn't realize they were going to be so badly disciplined. The, I've never seen a Bama team with such lack of discipline. Never. And that's their own doing. They got the talent. But, I mean, think about it. Of all that bad stuff, you still lose at Tennessee by 2 points, and you lose in overtime on a two-point conversion to LSU at home. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, a lot of teams would love to have those problems. But I'm just saying, those draft-eligible guys got to go ahead and get themselves ready and let those backups get those 20 practices in and get that game in. Because the quarterback is your big question next season. They got a kid from California coming in. Matter of fact, he just got his fifth star. But, man, you know how it is playing in the SEC as a freshman. As a true freshman, I don't know how realistic that is. The kid, the backup, he's got a rifle arm. He's fast. But let's see what he's got. He's a Jalen Hurts clone in a sense. Let's see what he's got. Jalen Monroe. That's his name anyway. So we'll see what happens, man. But I don't know, man. I'm gonna be listening to the show and kind of give y'all some crap. But watch my Pacers, man. I hate to say it, man.
Absolutely.
We might wind up winning about 37-38 games this year, man.
That's what's up.
I took the season over total. It was 24.5. I'm loving that bet I made.
Yeah, man. You may get that. Oh, speaking of that, hey, January 29th, we're going to Memphis. We're trying to get some guys to go to the Pacers Memphis game. It's a Sunday night game. Talked to our ticket guy at the game the other night. He has an opportunity to get us probably double-digit tickets if needed. So it's January 29th. It's a Sunday. Thinking about going down there, hanging out on Beale Street Sunday afternoon, pace the game at night, and heading down to the Horseshoe after the game and doing some damage. So just want to throw that out there for you guys, too.
I'll put it on the old calendar.
Hey, love the show, fellas. I'm going to keep listening. Hey, keep me on hold because my internet camera's messing up a little bit, but so I can listen to the show as long as I can.
Yep. Sounds good. D-Kai, hey, have a great Thanksgiving, man. And, thanks for calling in. Appreciate
it. I'll be posting some pictures tomorrow because my pescatarian lifestyle may have to take a hit tomorrow. I'll let you all see that.
Sounds good.
Love you guys, man. Be safe. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. That's our guy, D-Kai, calling in. Oh, his call dropped. I tried to put him on mute. So he's going to call back in, D-Kai. I'll put you back on. I'll keep you on hold. I don't know why it dropped. I think he hung up accidentally. John, let's hit some quick ad reads. When we come back from these ad reads, we'll dive into our college football talk. Hopefully Tanner will call in. I don't know if he forgot tonight or what, but hopefully he'll call in. Let's see. Here we go. We'll hit some ad reads. We'll be right back.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. For the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Crossroads Sports would also like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic and commercials, available for delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports. Where ideas are created and dreams are born, specialized in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshot, jeeps, and trucks. They're offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Yeah, that's right. I said worldwide, kind of like World Wide West from the Knicks. Worldwide shipping. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. And the promo code on your checkout, type in Crossroads. You get an exclusive discount. And also, let them know you heard this ad on Crossroads Sports Radio. All right, John. Man, worldwide, kind of like World Wide West, right?
Worldwide.
Exactly. Well, we don't have Tanner calling in. Not sure what the deal is, but we'll dive into our college football picks. In the meantime, John, we'll get ours. We have to get his tomorrow. We will. First game, Purdue -10.5 at Indiana, the old Oaken Bucket on Saturday at 3:30. They pushed it from noon to 3:30. Purdue still got a slim chance. Purdue needs to win this game and hope to God that Iowa somehow loses to Nebraska. Purdue's hopes got trounced last week with the way that that finish of Minnesota-Iowa happened. My God, that was devastating. But Purdue minus 10.5 at Indiana, spot on the line for Purdue possibly. John, we'll go for you first here. What do you like in this one, Purdue minus 10.5 versus IU?
Man, I know this season that never to bet the daggone point spread for Purdue, man. They will not do you any favors at all, right? They beat teams, man. They beat teams, but they don't teams. You know what I'm saying? They're a notorious team for playing them to the level of competition. I think that's why the point spread is where it's at, man. Indiana doesn't know. I mean, but here's what I'll say: this difference about these two teams. Indiana doesn't know how they don't know how they won, Brandon. They don't know what their team identity is.
They pass the ball
from week to week, and they found themselves kind of lucked up into a victory, man. I think that's kind of like how that Tom Allen wants to play it. He wants to play close football, but he doesn't necessarily have the staff, in scholarship, athletes, they can kind of play consistently week to week close football with anybody. Michigan State was just that team this week. On paper, man, and they played a better season, man. It's Purdue. This is a rivalry game. You can damn near throw everything out of the way, throw out of the window when you talk about rivalry games, though, man. So I get it that IU's coming in hot. They want to finish out hot. I just think Purdue figures out a way how to win this game, and like I said, and cover. So give me Purdue.
Okay, I'm going to take Indiana.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to take the Hoosiers. Tom Allen could be his last game. I'm hearing boosters are starting to get some money together for that buyout. I think Tom Allen gets the guys ready to roll. It's a rivalry game. I think Purdue wins the game, John, but 10.5, ugh. I think it could be 8, 9, even a 10-point game. I still get the correct bet on this. So I'm going to take Indiana to cover the points, probably lose the game, but I'll take them to cover. Next one, tomorrow night, Egg Bowl, Mississippi State at Ole Miss, minus 2.5 points. This could be the swan song for Lane Kiffin. There's been reports that came out earlier this week. Kiffin was joking around on Twitter with one of the reporters about it, but he never denied it. He never said it was inaccurate. He just kind of chuckled and made his own little meme joke. He never denied it. Anytime you hear that, I'm hearing that the deal is done. From people down there at Auburn, from what I've seen, Mississippi State, Mike Leach at Ole Miss minus 2.5. Give me Mississippi State plus the 2.5 here. I think Mississippi State wins this one. And then Lane Kiffin's kind of out on Friday.
Yeah, I think that team's kind of checked out, man. I think they checked out this past weekend, man. Give me Mississippi State as well.
You see how these picks are going, John. First two, and I've went against two of my faves I usually take. You see I'm changing it up. Number 21, Tulane. Tulane having a great season. Tulane at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, 2-point favorites in this one. John, what do you like?
Give me Cincinnati. I know Tulane is kind of teased us. They tease like an undefeated season, I do believe, right around week 6, week 7. And then they kind of fell flat, man. But Both of these programs have been running consistent wins. They won't be Cincinnati. Everybody knows Cincinnati is going to the Big 12 next season. They aren't necessarily the sweetheart story they were last year when they just kind of beat everybody in their path till they got to play Georgia in one of the CFP games. They still are a top 25 team. They still are very much capable of coming into your house or definitely defending their own home field. So I kind of like what they have right now, finishing the season off strong and kind of going into season when they start Big 12 play next season, man. Give me Cincinnati.
This one is at Cincinnati. Luke Fickle getting this team. They're both 9-2. Tulane's had a hell of a run this year. I think it's crazy right now that they still – we won't know until Tuesday who's playing in the Big 12 – or, the, excuse me, the American Athletic Conference's playoffs. Because you got UCF, you've got Tulane and Cincy, those three teams. Man, I just like – I like what Tulane has done this year so far. And – I'm going to reward it. I'm going to take Tulane getting 2 points here. I went against them early in the season on one game, and it went against me. So I'll take Tulane here in this one. By the way, heartbreaking Ball State game last night. I had them money line. They were up by 12 with, 6 minutes to go? 5 minutes to go?
Yep.
Bowl eligibility on the line. Oh,
yep. Going to the Bahamas.
John, ripped my heart out.
They gave up. Was that 32 yards or what? They gave up a 30. It was third and long. I think Miami had to get third and eight or something like that. Man, Ball State gave them 32 yards and a daggone touchdown with like time, basically damn near time running out. This is real disappointing. I know, me and Brandon are both in. Spoiler alert, tell everybody a little bit. Me and Brandon are a bunch of Ball State. Sports fan groups on various social media, Facebook pages, right? And like people are not necessarily knowing that Ball State is going to go undefeated year over year, but they are expecting, the Ball State fan base is expecting, bowl eligibility. And bowl eligibility in this climate is 6 wins, man. So Ball State could not get the matching done this year, man. There's not going to be no change in I don't think in head coach, unless that head coach somehow gets the call to go somewhere else. I think they're happy with what they have. Ball State's playing Georgia next year, so
yeah.
They're trying to level up the program. But Brandon, as well as I do, you can't level up the program if you can't win the game that a home game. Against Miami. Who the frick is Miami?
It was on the road.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, so again, the
week before was home that they should have won as well.
Right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Right. But who's Miami? So the Ball State hasn't necessarily had a couple years, right, for them removed from them winning the MAC championship to where this year now Ohio University is raising that banner, and they're going to a bowl game now. I do, Brandon. I'm from an era where the MAC only had one bowl eligible team. Now the MAC is sending two or three, but you got to get the 6 wins, man. And unfortunately, Ball State didn't get that this year, and they're not going to be bowl eligible, man. So on to next year.
Yep. Going to our next game, John. Auburn at Alabama. Alabama 22-point favorites. I kind of tipped my hat already. I'm going to take Auburn plus the 22. I think they cover this one.
Really?
I think with Lane Kiffin going to announce on Friday, this game on Saturday, they're going to play one last good one for Cadillac Williams. Hell, he might not even leave the field. He might have to get pulled off the field with him being head coach if they can go Lane over him being alumni.
Right.
I'm going to take Auburn to cover 22. They still got a good secondary, even though this team's been trash. So give me – Alabama hasn't been covering lately either. So give me Auburn plus the 22.
Wow. There's no way I'm taking Auburn. There's all kind of people that's wanting this guy and that guy. There's Lane Kiffin's name being floated around. There's Deion Sanders' name being secondarily kind of thrown around. I think it's like you said weeks ago, it's going to be Lane Kiffin. Auburn wants to be back in, in that name, like how they basically kind of had like a day and night turn the clock, like Brian Kelly came when he left Notre Dame to come to LSU. Auburn wants that back. So I get it that Alabama hasn't been covered, man, but there's no way Auburn. They're going to get blown out, dude. So,
you realize what this could do? If Kiffin goes there, and, I'm a Kiffin guy. I'm a big Kiffin guy.
Right.
That means I have to start cheering for War Eagle. So me and DCOM might have a rivalry start brewing. And I'm fine with that. I may have to take an Auburn squad. I don't have an SEC team or anybody besides Ole Miss just because of them. But if I need to move it to Auburn, then we're having an electric Iron Bowl in the future.
Well, let's just be honest. The world ain't necessarily getting ready. Alabama's the thing where they'll just fall out of the top 10 in the next three seasons. But things are changing. Landscape.
How about Tanner Penrod earlier this year getting duped by that tweet he sent us? And I had to call him out.
Yeah, man, he's talking about. not just yet. Maybe about three more seasons. But the landscape is changing where the other programs are trying to get the better coaches to come to their schools. And NIL, Brandon, I think NIL is really affecting our picks. Like, we didn't really take that into effect that the transfer portal, NIL, think about it, Jaden Daniels, it's no longer there. That's why our guy ain't coaching Arizona no more. Jaden Daniels is LSU now. You know what I'm saying? And that's just one guy. Now there's like all kind of impact players that nobody really necessarily pays attention to, offensive linemen, middle linebackers that didn't transfer from Pitt to USC and vice versa and parts in between. And, you know what I'm saying, that has to affect, I think, some of these programs, Alabama included. Brett Dekos said he thinks it's their mentality, their mental makeup. Like, dude, you know what? Yeah, everybody's maybe – some people are kind of checked out because, you know, one, maybe that's – we know we already going pro. You know what I'm saying? We already know we're going pro, so some people are kind of checked out. And then now the depth of what they used to have is now playing, you know, saying around the country now instead of playing in Alabama. So,
all right, let's roll through these games.
Let's
roll through these. Number 24, NC State at number 13, North Carolina. North Carolina, 6.5-point favorites. This one's at 3:30 on Friday afternoon. Give me Carolina minus the 6.5 in this one.
Yeah, I'm taking Carolina too, man. NC State has I'm still surprised they're in the top 25, man. They've kind of spiraled.
They're barely Carolina. There, 24.
Yeah,
25.
Yeah. So give me Carolina.
Nebraska at Iowa. Iowa 10.5-point favorites at home against Nebraska. I think Iowa wins. Iowa wins this game, but they can't score, right? So
no.
Give me Nebraska to cover the 10.5. I'm gonna take Nebraska.
I'm gonna be foolhardy and take Nebraska too to cover.
That's the only thing. I'm just seeing them covering. That's all. I don't think I'm winning it flat out. Florida, it used to be a great game. Florida at number 19, Florida State. Florida State, 9.5-point favorites. I think Florida State puts an ass whooping on Florida. They cover this easily.
Wasn't it supposed to be good back to business and winning Florida? I felt like it was, man. And now they've pissed the pot. You know what I'm saying? So, no, man, Florida State, he's keeping – that coach is keeping the Deion, you know what I'm saying, people out of his ear, man. That checks the box right there by beating Florida. So they'll do their due diligence. Give me Florida State.
Number 17, Washington, 2.5-point favorites at Washington State. What do you like?
Hold on. Which one is our homie playing for, Penix Jr.? I get confused,
Washington.
Man.
Washington.
Dude, give me Washington. He's going to light them up.
Give me Washington State. I think the Cougars beat him.
Ah, you hater.
Not because of him. There's a lot going on with this Pac-12, John, for next weekend's championship game.
Make no mistake, Brandon Reed. What you say there is 100%. The Pac-12 is arguably the most, outside of the Big Ten and the SEC, I would say it's probably the third best. It's just, unfortunately, those teams eat each other up.
I think you're about to see why it's wild. Next game, John, number 12, Oregon, -3 at number 23, Oregon State. This is the Civil War in Corvallis.
Yep.
Who do you like?
Bo Nix ain't ready for it, but he's been talking a whole lot of talk, man, since the transfer, dude. And he's had decent games, man. But Oregon State, not necessarily scared this year, but you always in rivalry games throw out what, you know what I'm saying, what the records are, man. Oregon is a top 10. They floated in the top 10 all year, man. They'll win this game. What, I don't even know what the spread is, but they'll win this game.
Three.
Yeah, they'll win this game.
I'm taking Oregon State plus the three. I think they beat Oregon flat out in this game. Oregon State's real deal, John. They're maybe 5-3, but they're 4-1 at home. They can hang. Excuse me, I'm sorry. They're 8-3. They're tied. Same record as Utah. There is a way for Utah to get back into this Pac-12 championship, John. Oregon loses to Oregon State. Washington loses to Washington State. This opens the door for a USC-Utah rematch in the Pac-12 championship next Friday night. I like it the way it's looking with it possibly. So I'm going to go with Oregon State here. I told you, there's some craziness going on. Number 18, Notre Dame at number 7, USC. USC's 5.5-point favorites. I had USC over UCLA last week. I was able to pick up a game on you guys with that one. USC, John, they are in the driver's seat for not only college football playoff berth, but also Caleb Williams. He has a great game this week. He has a great game in the Pac-12 championship. He's got to be up there in the Heisman, especially if they're getting that college football play for.
Right, because who's Heisman? Who's the Heisman favorite right now? Nobody knows. Nobody knows who's the Heisman favorite right now. Beating Notre Dame.
Right now, Caleb Williams is the favorite, actually, at -110. Yeah. The lines have moved. He's the favorite.
Beating Notre Dame, a team that's a name, and it's also been somewhat of a giant killer themselves this year, inconsistently. Right, or being on the other side of that would be a feather in their cap. I don't think Notre Dame is mature enough just yet, you know, to kind of cut to the chase to beat USC out there just yet, man. I think it's going to be a real close game, Brandon. I like Notre Dame's chances because we'll have to go back one day and look at that Marshall game. I don't understand how they lost. You know what I mean? But I think USC gets it done, and the kid probably ends up, you know what I'm saying, having a Heisman moment.
Does he cut? Do they cover 5.5?
Ooh. Oh yeah. Who? No. USC though. They probably put double digits on Notre Dame.
I'm taking USC as well. I think USC wins this game by at least a touchdown, easily. Caleb Williams, and I was saying this, John, a couple weeks ago, college football playoffs, that USC has a route, a very easy route. They have a route that a lot of people weren't looking at a few weeks ago. It helps with how good the Pac-12 is, the Pac-12 is this year. It helps, and USC's got that shot right there. They got the Big 12 or the Pac-12 championship next Friday. We'll see what happens. With that, they got to take care of business here against Notre Dame first, where all that gets wiped out. The big one of the day, 12 o'clock noon, which is crazy they play this game at noon. Why not have it a Saturday night game, like 7 o'clock? Let's put it on TV. Number 3, Michigan, at number 2, Ohio State. Ohio State, 7.5-point favorites at home. The winner goes to the Big Ten championship. The winner also is basically in the college football playoff. Michigan thumped Ohio State's ass last year up in Ann Arbor. It's at Columbus at the Shoe this year. Number 3, Michigan, at number 2, Ohio State. They both struggled last week, but they got wins. Ohio State -7.5. John, who is your pick in this big game for Saturday?
I told you 2 weeks ago. Is the homie Blake Corum playing?
Yes.
Blake Corum is playing. If Blake Corum is playing, he's 95%, because we know he got a little banged up in last week's game. That's why Illinois still had – I mean, man, and how could you not? He hired Brett Bielema after the game, man. You know what I'm saying? As you know, he just lost his mom, man. He was emotional. You know what I'm saying? Illinois was that close to beating Michigan. But no, man, I think Harbaugh – both of them have great defenses. Ohio State and Michigan have great defenses. I think Ohio State's offense is a little bit more systematic than, and I'm not saying Harbaugh's just got a, he's got a quarterback that he can, a quarterback room that he can trust, and he's got run. I mean, he's got run game. He's always going to have time possession. We're trying to run the ball, and like I said, he's got the. I think he has just a little bit level up off defense. Give me Michigan, and that's who I took 2 weeks ago, and that's who I'm. As long as Blake Corum is like 90-some% or so, I think he's a difference maker for him. If he's not, then you know, so obviously it's going to be a little bit more challenging for Michigan. But I think Michigan goes into Columbus and take care of the business.
I'm going to take Michigan to cover. I think Michigan covers this game with it being a 7.5. I'm getting the hook. I see this being more, John, of a 28-24 or 24-20 mm-hmm. type of game.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Michigan to cover outright. I think Ohio State wins the game. Ohio State, I think, is still the second best team in the country, even after this game. But Michigan, I think there has to be a scenario where the committee, no matter who loses this game, if Michigan loses, if Ohio State loses this game close, I think, John, there's a chance they still get in. I do. It's a slim chance, but you have to, as a committee, there's a small shot to get two Big Ten teams in this, correct? Like, there has to be. If Ohio State loses a close one.
So when you say two Big Ten teams are in, that means you're automatically disavowing probably the ACC champion. You're automatically disavowing any type of at-large person, you know what I'm saying, that who says, hey, we're undefeated over here, or we only are one lost team, you know what I'm saying, over here. And it's not saying it would be unprecedented because we've seen two SEC teams and have an argument for that. I just don't know if two Big Ten teams get in.
I agree. I'm saying as a committee, you have to at least consider it. If Michigan beats Ohio State, that Ohio State stays in. Because let me ask you this. So Jay Georgia wins. Georgia wins,
right.
They're in. Let's do this scenario. Michigan wins, they're in. Okay, so there's two teams. TCU,
right.
they're gonna play and probably win their game. They move up, right. So that's your third. So now you have Ohio State. Well, LSU lost to Georgia, so they're out. So you have Ohio State and USC.
Did USC win to Notre Dame?
Yes. And USC wins their bowl game. So they're both 11-1 going in, or excuse me, USC is 12-1, or 11, yeah, they're both 11-1. There's a lot more money in Los Angeles. I understand this.
Okay, but who's the better brand name? Them, okay, I'm going to throw a monkey
Ohio State.
In them. Or what you going to do with Clemson? And they ACC.
Oh, they're out, John. They're out. They're not even. They can't get in. They're eighth. In my regards, they're out. From seven up, 7, 6, and 5 are your only options. LSU, USC, and Alabama. Where it really gets screwed up is if LSU wins. If LSU wins, then you're only getting the winner of Ohio State and Michigan. That's it. The only the winner there. And I think it's crazy enough to even say that TCU gets put out and they put USC in.
If LSU
beats Georgia, because you're going to have LSU, Georgia, the winner of Ohio State, Michigan.
They would put TCU out and make Georgia be the fourth team. They would.
I think they would put LSU in as the fourth, wouldn't they?
I'm saying TCU would be forced out.
Yeah, and I think USC would be the fourth.
Undefeated or not, they would be forced out if LSU beats Georgia. I also think, though, if the only way Ohio State or Michigan, there's two big things scenario, another scenario is if TCU loses somehow to Iowa State and then automatically the loser of Michigan and Ohio State becomes their fourth team.
Right. The way for Alabama to get in is if USC loses to Notre Dame. Or the Pac-12 championship, LSU loses to Georgia, and TCU loses their Big 12 game. Because I don't see them jumping Ohio State or Michigan. I really don't.
No, I don't either. And nobody else is undefeated. And there's only and who else is only – there's only one lost team is USC. Clemson has the loss against Notre Dame. And I think Notre Dame was might have been unranked at the time if they lost Notre Dame.
Well, I'll put my thoughts out on Twitter and Facebook that I just – the scenarios I see is if LSU knocks off Georgia, so you got both of those teams, you've got the winner of Ohio State, Michigan, and it's going to be a crime when they decide to put USC in over TCU. That's where you're going to get everybody pissed off.
If LSU knocks off Georgia, crown them.
Oh!
You can crown them. For real.
All right. That's our college football talk. A couple things to wrap up, John. The show, MJF won the world title on Saturday night for AEW. The press conference was hilarious afterwards. I thought it was great, but the new era with MJF has started as champion. I'm excited to at least see that. I will tune in for his stuff. That's all I'm going to tune in for.
Yeah, you know, I've been unconnected to either show. I kind of just kind of listen to the dirt sheets or whatever and get my information. But, yeah, he makes it at least more interesting to watch their programming. So, yeah, I'm kind of tuned into it and kind of seeing what they have next with him.
Shout out Indianapolis next week. AEW is in Indianapolis. So if you want your tickets, go online, find them on Ticketmaster. Should be easier to grab them than it was for Taylor Swift concerts. World Cup's going on, John. I've been watching the World Cup. USA should have won. They backed into a tie with Wales. USA has a tough one Friday. They take on England. They got to at least draw this one. If they don't draw, England won 6-0 over Iran. So we'll see. But, yeah, USA and England on Friday. Maui Invitational for college basketball was going on. I watched the championship game before our show tonight. Arizona beat Creighton. Creighton's good, man. Creighton is a lot better than I thought they would be. And I didn't realize they had Andrew Nembhard's brother on that Creighton team as their starting point guard. So we got them. The Hoosiers won again tonight. They had a barn burner game against some no-name scrub. It might have been Arkansas State or somebody. So shout out to them. But it will be interesting to see them in Arizona and them in Kansas coming up. So that'll be here in a couple weeks here in December. Last two things I have, John, the Walking Dead finale. I thought it was good. Good finale. Tied up some loose ends. I did like the video tributes that they did kind of with everything on it. The fact that we saw Rick and we saw Michonne, and it's leading to that. John, I'm just happy we saw Rick back, man. Rick's back.
Brandon, I'm happy it's over. I'm happy Walking Dead is over. But yeah, I am. I'm happy that the Walking Dead show that I watched for how many 9 seasons and watched The Governor and Terminus and Michonne and Alpha and all the craziness and all the things that just kind of sucked me into walking. Like, that did not – this last season was a hodgepodge mess. And that's my thoughts of it. Like, I think that season finale was like an hour and a half. I could have watched – like maybe 8 minutes of it could have been reduced to by 8 minutes,
John.
And it could have been
respect. Come on,
and it could have been anyway, man. But that's what I thought. It has no run back factor for me. They have a promo afterwards, a package of like the Walking Dead universe, Negan show, Rick and Michonne show, Daryl show that was supposed to be Daryl and Carol show, but now it's just Daryl show because now Carol knows when it's time to get off. It's time to get off. It's really time to cut, but they're going to be the dead horse, and that's what we have here with Walking Dead. But like, nah, man, it was Brandon. It was just okay for me. I'm glad it's over.
That's John, I had a couple tears towards the end on the stuff.
Did you get choked up nostalgic because they showed everybody?
Yeah,
you know,
of course,
so, yeah,
man.
That was cool, but like that final finale, man, it was everywhere.
Let me ask you this. Are you going to watch any of the three? Any of the three?
Negan show, maybe. But if he ain't bad Negan, if he's been like what he is right
now.
No,
he'll be bad Negan. He said in the Talking Dead afterwards, it's a mix.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to New York. You got to raise hell.
Well, I'll probably watch Rick Show because that seems
Thank
a little
you.
Interesting. Like, how the hell, where the hell is he at?
He's with the trash lady. Michonne's going to walk in on him with trash lady.
let's hope.
All right. Last thing I have, John, give me your top three Thanksgiving items that you have to have out of Thanksgiving.
Gotta have turkey. Gotta have some point situation, a ham. And at some point, you gotta have for dessert, like sweet potato pie. Gotta have
Love
those
it.
Three.
My three are turkey, sweet potato casserole, green bean casserole. Give me those three. All day. We're roasting. Hopefully there won't be a fire at my sister's tomorrow, but we're roasting the turkey. We're supposed to have also another Thanksgiving with my fiance's family, but that got pushed now to Saturday due to an illness in the fam. So pushing that to Saturday, another one tomorrow night or tomorrow. So looking forward to that. We want to thank all of you guys, all you listeners. We're thankful for you guys for listening to us, for watching with us, and communicating with us, for chatting with us, for calling us crazy, for calling us smart, for calling us stupid. We appreciate all you guys have done this entire year and in our 5 years of existence. Couldn't do it without you. We couldn't do it without our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Maverick Custom Motorsports, and Wiseman Logistics. Can't do it without you three. Wiseman Logistics, folks, you're shipping for holiday gifts coming up. Start getting it out there. Send them out there. If you've got a wedding invitation from me, send it through Wiseman Logistics. Have them ship it to me. Come on now. Do whatever. Use it. Send it. We're looking forward to it. John, I'll let you kind of say your little peace thing before Thanksgiving and all, and I'll let you wrap us, my man.
Oh, man, I just had one little shout-out. Shout-out to the Indiana State Sycamores, man. I think they're like 4-5-0.
Yeah.
They keep on winning, man. A program that needed some jump starting, they got jump started this year, man. So I don't know. We got eyes and ears pretty much on everybody, man, as well, man. Brandon kind of hit everybody. The thank yous on the head, man. Wiseman, Scott K. Nichols, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, man. Everybody, listen to the sound of my voice. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We have all the socials that you know saying that they have until Twitter goes away. I know, you know there's a rumor that it might go away, but until it doesn't go away, Crossroads Sports is on Twitter. Pete Foosman is on Twitter. Interact with us there. Love to interact with you there. Thanks to D Cop for calling in the show. Always, I know we have some other folks kind of chime in on the live as well, man. Outside of that, man, I'm thankful for a lot, man. Just everybody, Pete. I know we're going into the time of peace and into Christmas season, man. Don't talk about it, be about it, man. Walk with it, man. The world needs it, man. We got a lot of things going on, a lot of Brent, I can't even watch the news outside of the daggone.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be preachy. Outside of the weather, I can't even watch the news, but I don't want to be too preachy, but y'all know what I'm talking about. So, hey, we going into the time of thankfulness and peace, man. Let's walk with it, talk with it. And, you know what I'm saying, we all be better people and our society be a whole lot better. That's all I got, man. Other than that, man, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We'll see you next week, man. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.